Chicks and Roosters. Today I am not talking to Leia in Beijing, but I am sitting next to my dear sister friend, Prairie Sherry, who many of you know from our blog. What was it called? Prairie Girls.
Prairie Girls.
Girls with a Z.
With a Z. Oh, because we're so creative.
I think the regular spelling of girls was taken.
I think it was.
We
had to go with a Z.
Yeah. So that's your tip or trick, is to go check out our blog, which was all on, I was going to say Laura Ingalls Wilder, but that's not true.
Oh, no. It was about our lives as single moms and...
Teachers.
Yeah. Yes.
So I used to teach with Sharon in Sun Prairie, and that's where we met. And we have been friends ever since. And today, we are just going to talk all things Laura Ingalls Wilder. We used to, during our breaks, during our preps, when we should have been prepping, meaningful lessons, we were taking quizzes on the books.
On Laura Ingalls Wilder books, yes.
Yeah.
And we were acing those quizzes.
Of course we were.
We're the two chit-chat chicks.
So, Sharon, what brought you to Laura Ingalls Wilder?
Oh, Laura Ingalls Wilder. Well,
bring us back.
I am a few years older than Prairie Edie.
Yeah.
She's got the two nickels and I'm into the next decade. So
you're in level six.
I'm in level six.
Yeah. I'm a mid level five.
Well, it gives you something to work for, dear. Laura Ingalls Wilder. Well, I should have been introduced as a young girl.
Yeah.
Because I grew up in eastern South Dakota, first 7 years of my life, in a town called Brookings that was a mere 15, 20 minutes from DeSmet, South Dakota, where Laura and her family lived.
Settled.
Yes.
That was when Ma's like, we are not moving further
that's
west.
That's when Ma said, I'm done. This is where I'm staying.
Pa's not digging another well on some, claim shanty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I should have been introduced to her at that point in my life, but I think I was probably a little young to be reading her books on my own. So I was living in Wisconsin and growing up in Eau Claire. I was probably fourth grade. And I was always looking for series books in the library because I was a voracious reader. And just to have one book wasn't quite enough.
No.
And I stumbled upon the Laura Ingalls Wilder books. And I was hooked.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah. I was in second grade. And my mom was reading the series to me, but she had things to do. She was like always doing the dishes and I'd be sitting there waiting. And I picked up, mom must have read to me the whole Little House in the Big Woods, but I picked up Little House on the Prairie while I was waiting for it to look at the beautiful Garth Williams illustrations.
Oh,
I just wanted to be Laura.
Oh, I did too.
Well, I looked at that and I'm like, what? I realized I could read every single word.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was it. And I read my way. I destroyed three sets of the books because I read them so much. They went on every car trip with me. They went, when I would take a bath, they would, go in with me.
And I was not so fortunate. I did not have my own set.
Sharon?
I had to go to the library. Well, they weren't out in paperback when I was younger. They came out in paperback later. So I would go to the library, and I kept checking the books out over and over and over and over again.
What, you weren't allowed to get a hardcover book? Or were they so expensive?
Well, we were just off the prairie. We were saving our money. Mom and Dad.
I did not know this about you.
No, I did not have the series. No,
oh, and I just callously asked you for a copy of all the books.
Yeah, well.
Because this is, I brought along one of the books for us to reference, and this is my like from my last set.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I love it so much. Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to briefly go through the books and kind of talk about our highlights.
Our highlights.
Yeah, and I suppose we could do a different episode where we talk about, like, Laura's real life, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We know lots about that.
We do.
Sharon and I, maybe 10 years ago, we went on an extended field trip. Where we went to Pepin, we went to Walnut Grove, and then we ended up in DeSmet.
Yes, yes. It was a road trip.
Oh, it was a road trip.
It was.
So we'll talk about some of the places where we actually went. But when we were at some point in one of the books, Pa plants a cottonwood.
Oh, yes.
For each of his girls.
Yes, cottonwoods on the homestead, yes.
And we were at those cottonwoods.
Oh, we touched those. I think we danced around them. And I think that was after we purchased the bonnets.
The bonnets.
The sunbonnets. Yeah. Oh. And so we do have pictures of us.
We'll post those pictures.
We got to post those because they're pretty good. Yeah. There's one of you peeking around the cottonwood.
The cottonwood. Yeah. But I don't know. I just felt like Pa and the girls were there with us.
It was.
Are we going to be able to get through
unfortunately,
this?
Unfortunately, our families couldn't understand our joy at all of this. But
no,
yeah, yeah.
But I... And I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yes.
So, the first book in this glorious series is Little House in the Big Woods.
Oh, yeah.
Sharon, give me your highlight from Little House in the Big Woods.
Little House.
So much happens.
There is, but images mm-hmm. to me. Images. Maple sugar candy. Uh-huh. Pouring the maple syrup on the snow.
Yeah.
I read that.
Did you do that?
Well, I did, but we didn't have maple syrup. We had a log cabin.
Yeah?
And it made a soppy mess.
Oh.
And it was not the lovely...
Oh, where they were pouring shapes onto the snow.
Yeah,
curly cues.
Mine looked more like an accident. It was not good. But that image.
That image,
yeah. That image. The buttons on Ma's dress.
The blackberry buttons.
The blackberry buttons. She wore the dress for the dance.
Yeah.
For
the sugaring dance.
And those buttons. I remember I wanted buttons, blackberry buttons.
Yeah.
So much.
Well, when she gets ready for that dance, Sharon, I know you'll remember that she put on that corset and Pa could span her waist with his hands.
And she had already had two children.
Yeah, but she had those blackberry buttons, and Pa was spanning her waist with his big pioneer hands.
That was pretty spicy.
For
second and third grade, wasn't it?
What other images?
Oh, the description of Christmas.
Mm-hmm, where Laura gets Charlotte.
She gets Charlotte the rag doll.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because she just had a corn cob wrench and a piece of flannel.
How pathetic is that?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm going to admit, once in August when we had corn on the cob, I did take a corn cob.
I think they're supposed to be dry.
I didn't know that. I wrapped it in some tissue and carried it around.
Carried it around until it began to smell. Until it became compost.
Compost. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but, oh, getting Charlotte and, the fact that Ma mm-hmm. had made her for Laura. Oh, that's just...
Oh. So I think this is a perfect book to read, like, in November. It's
oh,
so cozy.
It's a cozy book.
What I remember is those chapters about the harvest, where mm-hmm. they're storing all that food in their mm-hmm. attic.
Right.
They have, strings of onions, strings of garlic, the pumpkins.
And that's where Laura and Mary slapped.
They slapped with all the smoked hams.
The big smoke ham.
The sides of bacon. I suppose, the fresh meat, the quote, that would have to be, in their lean-to or something to stay frozen.
Yes, to stay frozen.
But Ma had to, smoke all that meat and, dry all that stuff. Make the cheeses. Remember that whole scene where she makes the cheese and wraps it in a cloth?
Yes, in muslin cloth. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was just a very cozy image of mm-hmm. a sweet family.
And I couldn't understand why they wanted to leave that little cabin in the big woods.
Sharon, we have talked about this so many times. They left all their family. Yeah. And they go, it was because of Pa.
Oh, Pa. What was Pa's issue?
They could have stayed in that nice, cozy little house.
I know.
By Lake Pepin.
Yes. Yes. But no, he had to uproot the whole family and...
And their families lived there mm-hmm. near them.
Yeah. Load them up in a covered wagon.
Yeah.
No wonder Ma was fed up by the time they got to South Dakota.
Okay, so that's Little House in the Big Woods. If you have not read it, it's a treat.
That is a treat. It is a wonderful read-aloud book for children, although I did find my children wearied of the books as I was...
We'll get to that later.
We'll get to that, yes.
Okay, the next book is Little House on the Prairie. Yes. What are your images from that?
Oh. I mean, it was so different than the big woods.
It was not cozy.
It was not cozy. And, you know, they were inflicted with, you know, the winds and the... that was not an easy life. But yet... Pa decided that this was going to be better for the family.
Yeah. Is this when Mr. Edwards appears?
I think so. Yes.
Yeah. So my favorite, I love all the Christmas chapters. In every one of the books, there's a Christmas chapter. And there's a flood, like the river. Yeah. Like Pa can't go and get Christmas presents.
That's right.
Santa can't get there. But on Christmas Eve, where Ma's gently rocking by the fire.
Yeah.
And she's like, go to bed, girls.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, knock, knock, you know, I don't know how they would knock at a sod door.
No, I have no idea.
I think they were still in the sod house. But Mr. Edwards came and he brought them they each got a shiny penny.
Yes.
A stick of peppermint candy.
Mm-hmm.
And
a tin cup.
They were sharing a cup until then.
And they had their own tin cup.
So that was another cozy scene. Mm-hmm. The fire, mm-hmm. Mr. Edwards was all, you know, Pa's like, take off that coat, Edwards, or whatever.
Exactly.
And then the girls were so happy, and Laura's like, we had so much to do the next day. We could think about how we'd spend our penny
and drink milk out of our cups.
Or just look at the cups.
Or did they even have milk in that book? I'm not even sure if they had a cow.
They did not have a cow.
I think they had just had to drink spring water or something.
Melt some snow for their tin cup.
But, you know, there were some really problematic things about this book.
Yeah, and maybe that's why I know it's not our favorite book, because Pa, and we think he knowingly built this cabin on Indian territory.
Yeah, it was land that was lived on and had been
designated
for the Native American population. And in that book, you see the Native Americans driven out.
Yeah.
And that horrible march that they're taking. And the babies, you know, the little papooses. And, there's some very problematic things in that book.
Yeah, and that's something as Laura fans, we do wrestle with it. I'm not even saying that jokingly.
Yeah, it's we really do.
Because I believe Pa knew what he was doing.
Oh, I think he did, too.
And I think Ma was very angry when they got driven out. The government drove them out.
Yeah, they had to leave.
After he had put all that work into digging the well and building a solid log cabin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, that it's, I don't know. It's not a cozy read.
No, it is not a cozy read.
So I don't think I need to read that unless I feel like being disturbed.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so the third book, Laura takes a break from telling about her childhood to tell about her husband's childhood, Almanzo, in upstate New York.
Yes.
And he had a very different existence than her.
Yeah, her existence was pretty sparse. And, you know, Pa was moving from claim to claim and not very successfully farming those claims, whereas Almanzo Wilder's father was a very successful farmer in upstate New York, and he lived a life of of plenty.
Yes.
He really did. And this book is all about food.
It's all about the food.
I mean, if you like to read descriptions about food, you have to read
And who
Farm
doesn't?
Boy. Yes.
Oh. So the mother, Mother Wilder, she had the help. He had two sisters.
Mm-hmm.
But just all that food that they had to get on for those hungry men. Mm-hmm. And they must have been hungry after doing all. Well, I mean,
sure.
Just like pies and hams.
Oh, they were eating before they went out to do chores. They were eating a big breakfast. After they did chores, there was a huge noon meal. They were constantly
eating.
And, you know, growing up, my grandparents and my uncle and aunt were farmers in Western Iowa. Growing up, I was in that culture, and they did eat all the time.
Really?
Oh, constantly. But, you know, my uncle and my grandpa were burning off those calories in the field.
Yeah?
Farming was not as mechanized then, and certainly not during Almanzo's time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a life of really hard physical labor, but they
Good
had
food.
The
they
means
had, they had food.
To put food on the table.
And their houses, the house just seemed really, they had a parlor, they had an upstairs, they had feather ticks.
Mm-hmm.
And the one chapter that I really remember, well, there's many. Remember when he got Star and Bright, the little oxen?
Oh, I love that.
And his dad teaching him how to break the oxen in?
Mm-hmm.
That was precious.
I love that.
Or when he goes and he peeks into his father's workshop and his dad is making shingles.
Mm-hmm.
And Almanzo sits down with his dad and his dad puts his hands over Almanzo's little hands and helps him with the shingles.
Yeah. Learning very young how to do all of those chores. And later on when Laura and Almanzo were married, he built their homes himself. So, you know, that wasn't just... It wasn't just being a good father, it was passing on those skills that young men eventually would need to have in that time.
And as we will get to later on, Almanzo was always breaking in some team of Mustangs Do you remember that chapter towards the end when he goes to the state fair with the milk-fed pumpkin?
Yes.
And he was wondering if he was cheating?
Yes.
Was he cheating? Let's put this to bed.
It certainly sounds like it. He was adding poundage on that pumpkin.
By feeding it milk instead of water.
Yes. So,
But he won the ribbon.
He did win the ribbon. But maybe they were all milk feeding their pumpkins. But you see, that just goes to show how much they had. That
compared
they were
to
able
Laura.
To do that. I mean, they were watering their pumpkins with milk.
And then Laura was just drinking spring water, melted snow from her tin cup.
Life isn't fair.
Very different upbringings. What I'm wondering is why didn't, when Laura and Almanzo got married, actually, I think his family then moved to Minnesota.
They did.
And it wasn't successful.
It was either Minnesota or Wisconsin that they moved to. And I'm not sure.
I think
why.
It was Minnesota.
Yeah.
Why did they leave? Again, why are they leaving these lovely situations?
Idea. But they were older then, and perhaps they wanted to be closer to their children because the daughters had moved west too. So maybe they wanted to be closer to family.
I can't imagine that they wanted to be closer to Eliza Jane.
Yeah, well, she's another story.
All right, so that's Farmer Boy. I would recommend Farmer Boy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's very delightful.
And it is the one book that is from the male perspective.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah. So. And my boys still didn't want to hear it.
No.
No. Okay. Moving on. Okay. Now, Sharon, on the banks of Plum Creek. We were at Plum Creek.
We were on those banks.
We were on
the
those banks.
The very banks. Right where the dugout had been.
Yeah, we were looking right where the dugout was.
Yes, and we were in wildflowers. Remember that? Oh.
And we kept saying things, maybe Laura stood here.
Laura stood here. Maybe she gathered. Maybe this is where she waded in the creek.
Yeah.
Oh, but
the minnows nibbling.
Maybe she touched this stone.
It went. went on forever. We were there a very long time.
Yeah, we had the mosquito bites to show.
It didn't matter.
No, it didn't matter.
So what stands out to you about On the Banks of Plum Creek?
The description of the dugout. That just really, really got to me, that they were living in this underground house. And, yeah, I can just imagine Ma. I think Ma was just horrified.
Well, but the writing makes it sound like it was the sweetest, coziest little thing.
But come on. I had a dirt basement one time in an old house that I lived in, and you know, you don't want to live in a dugout.
Well, remember when there was that cattle stampede and like the hooves came right through the roof.
Yes.
And Ma came out holding baby Carrie. What's happening?
And then who can forget the grasshoppers?
Oh, Sharon, it was heartbreaking.
And I hated I've always disliked grasshoppers. And I do recall in my childhood when I did live in the eastern South Dakota area, which is not far from the Plum Creek area in Minnesota, the grasshoppers. You would go out, you know, on a walk in the country, and the grasshoppers would land on your legs, and they'd leave little tobacco stains on your clothes if they landed on you. Really disgusting.
And there were like millions.
But this was like the plagues of the Bible.
Yeah.
Yes.
So for those of you who have not had the joy of reading On the Banks of Plum Creek, Pa grows this wheat, and he puts all of his stock in this wheat. Oh. He borrows against his harvest and to buy planks and real glass for their windows. He builds a lovely house on credit. And they're just like, oh, the wheat's almost ready to harvest.
It's
going to
be such a plentiful crop. It was a beautiful crop.
It was waving. And then Laura looks, oh, I see a silver cloud approaching. And it's the locust.
The locusts are coming in.
They try putting up fires and smoke. They did it for days.
Yes, yes, yes. And they would go into their house and they would hear
the locusts
eating and chewing.
Everything.
And the wheat crop was gone. There was nothing left.
Nothing.
And father was left destitute.
And they did stay there, I'm thinking, for like 7 years. Okay, so there's that. Another beautiful image again is, that was not beautiful, but was the Christmas tree when Laura first saw a Christmas tree with candles on it.
Yes, yes.
The way she writes that description.
And can you imagine, you know, the first time?
I can't.
Ever see that, you know, she had celebrated many Christmases, but that was the very first time to see that lighted tree.
And they were all at the church with the whole community, and on the tree there was a present for everyone.
Yes.
And Laura, do you remember what she got?
I don't.
She got the muff and the little stole.
Yes, the rabbit muff.
Mm-hmm.
It was the rabbit muff and stole.
Because Nellie Olson had a stool, but she didn't have a muff.
Yes.
So Laura, at the end of the chapter, you know, Nellie Olson was as the nemesis.
Yes.
You know, we hated her. She was actually a compilation of three girls.
Three characters,
that Laura knew. But Laura got to sashay out with her hands in the muff.
She did.
Loved that for Laura.
That was really wonderful. Aww. You know, I always sort of like Nellie Olson's dad. I think Nellie Olson's father was much, much kinder, certainly much kinder than Nellie or the mother. But I often wonder if Nellie Olson's father, the shopkeeper, had something to do with that muff under the tree. Just a thought.
Really?
Yes.
Sharon, I didn't think we'd have anything new to say about Laura Ingalls, but
you mull that over.
You didn't have your own set, and
there you go. Yeah.
I would like to think that's true.
Yes, I like to. That's my hypothesis.
I've never heard anyone say that.
Okay, well, there you go.
That one person who wrote the Pulitzer on Laura Ingalls, Prairie Fires.
He didn't miss. She did not get that angle.
Yeah. No, she should have called us. We are going to leave you this week on the banks of Plum Creek. And next week, we will be heading west with the Ingalls to South Dakota, and lots will be happening. So I hope you enjoyed the chit-chat with Sharon this week about Laura Ingalls Wilder, and we will be back next week with part two. Cluck, cluck.